to me, it's been a good day. They've celebrated the Passover. They've thought about how God brought Israel out of Egypt and everything that God had done for them. And then even, I'm sure the disciples just even reflecting on the past 3.5 years of just walking with Christ and seeing all the miracles and just, you know, just enjoying themselves. And even, Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, washing their feet. I mean, they've gone out, they sung a hymn, they stopped by the temple on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. They sat there and watched Jesus pray, as they had often seen him pray and listened to him pray and all that, and then went on, passed over the brook Kidron and up into the garden, and there they fell asleep because it had been a long day. They're tired, their stomachs are full, and it's late. And yet, Peter, you know, just in that moment in the upper room, he's like, no way. I mean, life is good. I'm not going to deny you. Remember, Lord, I'm the one that said, you have the words of life. Where do we go? When he, in John 6:66, when all the disciples left him, you know, all the ones that were just there for the feeding and there for the miracles, and they left Jesus because they just didn't understand what he was saying when he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be my disciple. And many left him that day, and Jesus turned to hit those main disciples and said, will ye go away also? And Peter's the one that said, where do we go? So, I mean, it's been good. And Peter, you know, again, he's like, there's no way. I mean, why would I deny you? I mean, you're the Son of God. I mean, you're Christ. You're the Messiah. Why would I deny you? But that's where we find ourselves often. I say we in Christians in general, that we find ourselves like, I love him so much, I'm not going to deny him. I mean, what I do, I'm going to do. All right, or what I say, I'm going to do. And Peter said, I won't deny you. So he was sure he wouldn't deny him. But what happens often, though, is when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, we find our flesh being, I'll say, persecuted, but more so at this point in Peter's life, he's not being persecuted yet, but the fear of the persecution, the fear of what man might do, caused him to deny the Lord. Because he saw Christ, you know, he's taken prisoner. He cut off Malchus's ear there in the garden, but then Peter, you know, he fled away. He followed afar off, and he's warming himself by the fire of the enemy. And then he's questioned, all right? So when you go down to, let me get there. Number two, my iPad as always. You get down, you look at Peter's wavering boldness, all right? We'll get there, so there we are. Technical issues, but Peter's wavering boldness, okay? He was bold in the moment in the upper room when there was really, you know, no opposition, all right? No fear of man at the moment. I mean, think about it. They're not even thinking about what possibly could happen in the garden. Up until the upper room, Jesus had been telling them that he would be handed over into the hands of sinful men. He would be crucified. He would rise again. He had told them that several times, but no one's thinking about that on this night. I just want to say this. It's easy when everything's going good to say, I'll always stick by the Lord. I'll always stand by the Lord. I'll always trust the Lord. I'll always do this. I'll always, when there doesn't seem to be any problem. But the true test of our faith comes when we are faced with opposition, when our own relationship with Christ is faced with the fiery darts of the devil. Again, the Bible just warns us, the fiery darts of the devil, he will continue to try to destroy our faith, continue to get us to stand in pride, in the boldness of the flesh instead of in the confidence of Christ. But as we continue to look at these passages this morning, we see that Peter's bold boast of his intention to stand with Christ and to follow him to the death is about to be challenged. We notice where Peter had once been in the inner circle and very close to the master, that during this time of danger and distress, he began to follow afar off. And that's always a danger for God's children, to follow afar off. How is a child going to be safe walking through the woods that they've never been if they don't stay close by their father or mother, whoever they're with? Again, as a kid, I can remember when my dad and I would go hunting to my great aunt's farm. We never shot any. We always, I think my dad just took me out there just to appease me of going hunting. We never shot anything, let alone see anything. But one thing he always told me is you got to be very quiet. Just walk where I walk. And I would. I would just keep my eyes on his feet, and I would step everywhere he stepped. I mean, I see his little print in the dirt or in the mud or among the leaves, and I would just go everywhere he went. There was a couple times that, little boys, cursing, I want to look around, where are we at, what's going on, and stopping and looking, and where'd he go? And then he pops out from a tree because he's walking. He thinks I'm still with him. And I hurry up, and of course, I'm crunching sticks now, and I'm trying to catch up. Saying is, we have that tendency that when everything seems okay, that we have this boldness of the flesh. But as we see here, Peter found himself following afar off because he did exactly what the Lord said he would do that he denied that he would not do. We must always be purposeful in drawing nearer to the Lord. The farther we get from Christ, the more prone we are to do things and say things that we would be unlikely to do if we were in his immediate presence. Again, Peter found himself following afar off, and that got him into more trouble. That really got him denying the Lord because he wasn't. Because, if you're standing next to Christ as a believer, the Pharisees, they were in his presence, they still denied him. But as a follower of Christ, if you're standing next to him, it's kind of hard to deny him. Because think about the closer you get to Christ, the more likeness you have of him. The closer you are to Christ, the more likeness you have of him. And that's why later on, they say of Peter and John, they took knowledge that they had been with Christ. Remember when they healed the lame man there at the beautiful gate of the temple, and silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then they get brought before the religious rulers, and they question them, by what power and name have you done this? And once Peter, preached a bold message to them, they still say they're ignorant men, but they took knowledge they had been with Christ. Something was different. Now he had a boldness of the Spirit, not a boldness of the flesh, because the Holy Spirit was giving them the boldness now to stand up for their faith, to stand up for the name of Christ. But again, Peter had to learn a very hard lesson on this night. Now, in Mark 14 and verse 50, it says in verse number 50, and they all forsook him and fled. All the disciples forsook him. The same disciples that said, agreed with Peter and said, nope, we'll never leave thee. Yet they all forsook him. All right? There was Peter's departure in forsaking the Lord. Now, it's a heart-rending thing when a person forsakes a close earthly relationship. Now, imagine the desertion the Lord felt by the man to whom he was closest and to whom he had devoted the last 3 years of his life to mentor. Now, this betrayal had to hurt him, speaking of Christ, deeply. Now, you think the Lord already knew that Peter was going to deny him. He already knew the disciples all would forsake him in the garden. He already knew that. But again, the Lord's desire is for us to walk closely with him, for us not to deny him, for us to gather all our strength from him. His first command to these men had been to follow me, and every one of them did. James and John, they followed Matthew the publican. He left the seat of customs. He followed Christ. Peter followed. Nathanael followed. All the disciples had followed the Lord, but now they had all deserted him. Now, even after the disciples had joined themselves to the Lord, Jesus continued to tell them to follow. In Matthew 16, 24, there in your notes, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, it's a daily thing we have to do. There's not a single Christian who will not be tempted to stray from the Lord. And there's not a single Christian who wouldn't even say, not me, I won't. But we have to remind ourselves we still are robed in sinful flesh. Flesh that fears for itself. Flesh that wants to protect itself. Flesh that does not want to be persecuted. Flesh that doesn't, you know, want to have any hardships. And that's why we're told that we are to yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is inside of every believer. But from the beginning, Jesus had told his disciples to follow him. And what did Jesus even tell Peter when Jesus came to Peter on the shores of Galilee after the denial, after the ascension of Christ? Jesus says, follow me. They had their little discussion about, do you love me? But then he said, okay, follow me. Keep following me. And that's where we get in trouble, is when we stop following the Lord. How do we stop following the Lord? And I want some input. How does a Christian stop following the Lord? I'm sorry? Don't go to church. That's one way. There's a lot of Christians that, well, you don't have to go to church. Okay, that's step number one of not following the Lord, because the Bible tells us to. All throughout Scripture, everywhere Paul went, what was the first thing he did when he got to a new city? He went to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue. All right, so that's a very important one is, you know what? You stop going to church. I say you, not you as in Christians. Stop going to church, and you're going to fall away from the Lord. You're going to get away. What's another way? Another reason, or another way that we can stop praying. And you know what? I would say, I would venture it. Someone would probably say, stop reading your Bible. This is usually the progression of someone who walks away from God, or, you know, follows afar off. They stop praying. Guess what? I stop talking to God. I'm going to stop listening to what His Word says. And then I'm going to start justifying why I don't have to tithe, why I don't have to, you know, show up to church. Because you know what? I'm not reading God's Word. I'm not talking to God. So I'm going to start following off. I'm going to start following afar off. Peter said, I will not deny you. But what did Jesus say? You will deny me. But he refused to believe what the Word said. He refused to believe what Jesus said. And that's where the Christian gets in trouble, when they stop believing what the Bible says. And they start standing in their own strength. They start standing in their own wisdom instead of the wisdom of the Lord. We got to be careful, because he departed from the Lord, and again, with the confidence of himself that I won't. How many steps are you and I away from departing from the Lord? How many steps do you think I am away from departing from the Lord? One step. Whoa, man, pastor's a wicked man. No, we're all one step away from falling away from the Lord. Because you know what? The devil knows exactly what it would take to cause any of us to throw our hands up and say, forget it. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we stay close to the Lord. And if God says to any of us, sin lieth at the door, like he did to Cain, be careful. Get rid of that unforgiveness. Get rid of that jealousy. Get rid of that hatred. You better pick up the Bible, start reading it again. You better get in that prayer closet, spend some more time with me. I mean, if God speaks to us about anything, we need to be quick to say, yes, Lord, you're right. You know me better than anybody else. You know my thoughts. You know the intents of my heart. You know everything about me. Peter would have done very well to listen to what Jesus said and humbled himself and said, Lord, help me not to do that. Help me not to deny you. But again, we do have scripture that shows that he did, but it is for our learning. It's for us not to follow in Peter's footsteps, but to follow in the footsteps of Christ. All right? Now, again, in Matthew 16:24, he said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, as believers, we need to realize that what Jesus wants from us is to follow him. That's always what he wants, us to follow him. Follow his ways, follow his word, follow his leading. This is stated clearly in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, Jesus always used real life lessons, real, you know, things that people could relate to, and he always used sheep. Because, again, that was one of the occupations of the Israelites, were the fact that they were sheep keepers. Now the shepherds were obviously those that were looked down upon. The Egyptians, when Jacob brought his family down into Egypt because, you know, Joseph is alive and Joseph sent for his family, they couldn't dwell in the city of the Egyptians. They had to dwell, they were given their own piece of land to dwell in because the Bible says shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. All right. Again, when you think about the sheep hear the master's voice, they hear the shepherd's voice, and they follow. All right? So, it's good to remember that one of the great testimonies that we can show to the world is that we are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in your notes, 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What steps did Jesus take from Bethlehem to Calvary? What steps did Jesus take from Bethlehem to Calvary? I'll even go further back. What steps did Jesus take from his throne in glory to Calvary? Steps of obedience, steps of faithfulness. He came to fulfill the Father's will. He followed everything the Heavenly Father wanted him to do. And he calls us to do the same, to follow in his steps of obedience and faithfulness to what God tells us to do. Now, okay, Peter's departure, but what about his decision? His decision in verse 54 of Mark 14. And Peter followed him afar off. He followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants, not the servants of the Lord, but the servants of the high priest, the servants of the enemy, and warmed himself at the fire. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 58, it says this, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He was curious what was going to happen. He had denied the Lord. First time he denied the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he fled from him. Now he comes, he's seated. What's going to happen? He wants to see what's gonna take place, what's gonna transpire with the mob taking him, and now he's in the high priest's palace. Again, I just want to warn us, that's a danger for any of us to follow Jesus afar off and not be obedient to what he tells us to do, because we want to first see how things play out. We want to see how it goes first before, you know, I say, oh, okay, I'm one of the Lord's, right? Because, if we knew, okay, we're following Jesus, we follow him into the building this morning, he has this huge, huge bag with him. What in the world's in the bag? He proceeds to come to the front of the auditorium, but we all sit in the back because, you know, we're not quite sure what he's going to do, so we're going to sit back here and just see how this plays out. But then you have some other Christians that, man, they're right in the front, like Mary's in the front, Lazarus, he's in the front. I mean, these whose lives have been changed, I mean, they're in the front. They're like, man, it's got to be good because he changed my life. So, I mean, whatever he's got in that bag has got to be good. But, you know, some of us, we're in the back because, you know, we're kind of skeptical. Or I'm not quite sure. I want to see what happens. You know, first thing you know, Jesus pulls out, you know, let's just say whatever it is you need. Finances, peace, joy. I mean, he's pulling good things out and just passing them out to people. Then what would happen? Well, those in the back, they would run to the front like, oh, I want some too. Oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing left. It was only for those that were seated in the front. Because had I been seated in the front, there would have been something in the back for me. What I'm saying is, and you know, that's probably a poor illustration, but think about it. Where is Peter at? He's down below. He's under the palace warming himself at the enemy's fire because he wants to see how this is going to play out. And where did it get him? It got him doing exactly what he said he wouldn't do. I've never met a Christian in my almost 13 years of being a pastor, I've never met a Christian who came to me and said, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of all this. I'm not coming back. Not once have I met a Christian like that. The ones I meet are the ones that say, God told me. I had someone say, I'm leaving because I want to find a more faith-based church. A church is based more on faith. How can you get more faith than following the word of God? Right? I've never met a Christian that has just said, you know, I'm tired of this. I just want to go live my life. I want to go drink. I want to go have pleasure. They all have the excuse of, well, it's something you said. It's something someone said. In fact, well, God told me to. Peter did what he did because he gave in to his flesh. He did what he did because he didn't listen to the word of God. When Jesus said, the devil desires to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Peter, don't stand in your boldness. As I'm God and I know the future and I know what you're going to do with your entire life, you're going to deny me this night. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. We need to continue listening to God's word and adhering to God's word and not living our life contrary to God's word. Do we know people even right now that are not doing what I'm saying that God tells us to do? Absolutely. But we have to think about ourselves. Am I doing what God told me to do? Am I falling close to him so that I will not deny him in some way? Am I following him faithfully every day? Or am I being like Peter, kind of falling afar off and to see how things play out? Because what happens with Peter's decision of falling afar off, he ends up denying the Lord. Look here in your notes in John 18, verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought Peter in. There's one disciple, and it's debatable. There's people that debate, well, what disciple is that? I've heard people say, well, that's John. I've heard say, well, that could be Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. All right. But what I say is he uses the word disciple because it's a disciple of Christ, and I'm going in to see what's going to happen. All right. Some things aren't worth debating. What is worth debating right here is one disciple went all the way in. One disciple stayed out. But you have the one disciple go get Peter and say, come in here, get in here. All right? Sometimes we have to do that. Don't be afraid to encourage another believer to do what's right. Don't be afraid. It's you're not being judgmental. You're trying to encourage them. Hey, come on. You know what's going to happen if you stay out there. You're just going to get further away from the Lord. Get in here and let's worship God and let's follow the Lord and let's let Him work in our life His perfect plan for our life. But again, Peter was brought in. And while we are often learning in these series from the things that Peter did wrong, it is true that he did not stay close to Jesus during this event in his life. It is only fair to mention that he did make the right decision to follow while others fled and continued to flee. So, I mean, he's, I understand what they're saying there. Okay, he's following afar off, but at least, you know, he's got Jesus in eyesight. All right. And that might be what kind of saved him. You know, saved meaning that when he went out and wept bitterly, he was actually convicted about what he did. He actually was sorry about what he did. Whereas Judas Iscariot wasn't sorry. Now he went and cast the 30 pieces of silver at the feet of the Pharisees, and he went out and hung himself. All right. Peter is convicted in his heart. Judas Iscariot was only convicted in his conscience. He was convicted. Well, I didn't know they were going to condemn him to death. I thought they would just imprison him. Whereas Peter, he's convicted in his heart and he goes out and weeps bitterly. All right. The Lord knows the difference. So when you think about his decision did cause him to deny, and we have to be careful about that. I might can follow the Lord afar off and still keep him, you know, in my eye gate where I can see him. But it's best to be close to the Lord than afar off. Because when we follow afar off, it's easier to walk away. Now, let's just say, you know, if I am next to the Lord, I mean, I am walking with Him daily. It's a little harder to just walk away because the connection is so close. I'm right next to Him. How do relationships end up splitting? It's because either one or both start to distance themselves for whatever reason, right? The Bible does say, how can two walk together unless they agree? So again, if we stay close to the Lord, it is hard. It doesn't mean the temptation won't come because, again, the devil wants to find something in our life to cause us to drift away from the Lord. Like I said, no Christian wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to deny the Lord today. I am done with the Bible. I'm done with prayer. I'm done with church. I'm done walking with the Lord. No, it's a slow drift. It's a drift that when they wake up one morning, they've drifted so far that, I don't feel like going to church. no, those people don't care about me anyway. Because they've let things in their mind play in their mind like a tape recorder over and over again. That's not true. The devil's used against them, and they just kind of slowly drift away. So we have to be careful. That's the whole point of the lesson of looking at Peter's life, is that there's warning here. Be careful that we do continue to walk close to the Lord, drawing nigh unto Him every morning, and not letting ourselves drift away by following afar off and making the wrong decision to deny the Lord. Again, we all would say, I'll never deny the Lord. No way. Because of our love for the Lord. Peter, again, I believe Peter had such a strong love for the Lord. He's like, how can I deny you? But we have to be careful that we are capable of denying the Lord, even if I don't physically walk away from the things of God. I can still deny Him in my mind of not doing what He asked me to do. Jonah denied the Lord because he didn't go to Nineveh the first time. Now, praise the Lord, God gave him a second chance, and we serve a God of second chances. But Jonah, he denied and he went the other way. That is a form of denying our Lord and denying what He wants in our life. You may not, and I may not with my words say, I don't know Jesus Christ. But our actions sometimes speak louder than our words. So we got to be careful. All right. So in Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace. A damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. You know what? I believe with all my heart, if Peter would have just went in with that other disciple everywhere that they went, if he would have just went in, I think he would have been okay. But see, he's among unbelievers. He has surrounded himself with unbelievers, and they're questioning him. No. He gets so mad, what else can he do but just to curse and swear? But see, I think if he would have been with that other disciple where Jesus was, he would have had some, okay, I'm not the only one. There's another believer here. All right. And that's the whole important thing about church and fellowship, is we all need that encouragement. Whether anybody wants to confess it or not, we all need the encouragement of seeing other believers like, okay, I'm not the only one, right? That's why, asking someone to pray for you about something, someone that you know you can confide in. Because, again, we should all be able to pray for one another. But, you always find someone that you really can just connect to, that you feel, you know what, I can really tell them what's on my heart, and I know that they'll pray for me. I know they're not going to gossip and take what I say. I mean, there's a connection with some people that we have like that, and it is what's needed. We need that encouragement from other believers, and I believe Peter would have done well to continue on with that other disciple, even if it meant going into the palace. It's better to be in the center of God's will in the den of lions like Daniel than to be on the outside having denied the Lord by, okay, not praying for 30 days like the law was for Daniel. It was better for him to be in the lion's den, because God kept him safe, right? And we have to view things that way, that, you know what, if God's will is for me to be in the center of that, I know it's a safe place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace heated up 10 times hotter. The heat was so intense, it killed the strong men that threw them in the furnace, but didn't singe a hair on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were safe in the fire. We don't think that way. Humans don't think, wait, safe in the fire? Uh-uh. Safe among hungry lions? Uh-uh. Right? No way. But it is true. If God's will is for us to be in the center, and Peter would have been in the center of lions up in that palace. But he wasn't. So he ended up denying the Lord. He ended up doing what he said he wouldn't do because he didn't walk close with God. We got to make sure we stay close to the Lord and not give in to the flesh. Don't give in to the fear of the flesh. Always give in to the faith that we find in the Lord. Very quickly, we'll do this. We got about 15 minutes or less. Number three, Peter's weeping bitterness. We know that he denies the Lord. We know he goes out weeping bitterly. In verse 72 of Mark chapter 14, the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. That's a good thing. When was the last time you and I were convicted about anything God said? After the fact. Have you ever been in a church service and heard a message and God spoke to your heart about something you did or didn't do before the service? There's times you sit in the service and God speaks, and you're like, man, well, that verse is convicting. But have you ever been convicted by something you did or didn't do in a church service as God speaks to your heart? Peter remembers the words of Christ, and then he's convicted because then he wept when he thought about what Jesus said, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now, like Peter, all of us will stumble and fall in our walk with Christ. The Bible states in Proverbs 24, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." That's the difference between a just man, someone who's walking with the Lord, and someone who's not. If we're walking with Christ and we stumble and fall, he's going to help us back up. I mean, the greatest picture is Peter sinking in the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm. And what does he do while he's sinking? He calls out to the Lord, "Save me." And the Lord lifts him up and they walk to the boat. All right. So again, that's the difference between the lost and the saved. Now let's see here. So think about Peter's remembrance. All right. He remembered the words of Christ. Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Remember the word of Jesus. In Luke 22, verse 61, there in your notes, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. So Luke tells us that when the cock crew, Peter remembers his words, but he looks to where Jesus is at. So somehow they're in close proximity that their eyes meet. Now we have a choice to either let God's word convict us or not. Now the only way that I'm gonna let God's word convict me is if I read it. If I don't read it, I'm not going to be convicted by anything. But can you imagine being in the very presence of Christ and see him physically, and you look at him after you just did what you said you wouldn't do, and remember, he said, "I was going to do this." So, I mean, just the fact that he sees the Lord brings that conviction in his heart. Again, Luke adds that detail. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The Lord had heard it all. Whatever was behind the look that Jesus gave, it hit Peter with tremendous force. Again, we can speculate what the look was. I mean, I can, again, think about being a kid and sometimes being in the back seat, you know, fussing with my sister. We're fussing back and forth, and my dad's already told us to knock it off a few times, and we just, you know how kids are. And just look up at the rearview mirror, and you know he's got his glasses down like this. Just looking in that mirror, and it's like, right? If looks could kill, Think about the look Jesus gave. Now, many would look into his face, Jesus' face, and see love, compassion. On this day, I believe it was a mixture of love, compassion, but also grace, mercy, because Peter, he sees the Lord, he's convicted in his heart, he goes out and weeps bitterly. But it changed his life, did it not? From that moment on, his life was completely changed. And we know that because of his remorse. There in verse, if you were to go to Matthew 26 real quick, Matthew 26 and verse 75, this is the difference between Peter and Judas Iscariot, is that Peter actually has true remorse in his heart, whereas Judas did not. But in Matthew 26 and verse 75, it says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." All right, he wept bitterly. Now, after the word of the Lord had been brought back to Peter's mind, we see two commendable actions that are tremendous examples. The Bible states that he went out, he left where he was, and where was he? He was among the non-believers. He was among the servants, the maids that were questioning him that he had denied the Lord to. He left the companions that had drawn him into denying his Lord and went off by himself. All right? And we're going to, if we are going to draw close to the Lord, we need to draw away from the people and things of this world. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Jesus said in 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So again, when you think about what Peter did, we always like it to be someone else who does it and not us. But we do learn from Peter's mistake that he was, again, prideful in the fact he said, "I will not deny you." And he wasn't the only one. All the other disciples said, "We won't either. We're not going anywhere." But then they all forsook him. And the difference between a true born-again believer and someone who professes religion is that when our hearts are convicted, there's a difference. There's a change on the inside. There's a change on the inside. We truly do remorse over what the Lord convicts our heart about. And we do, I'll even say this, we need to be concerned. When was the last time I was convicted about anything? Because that will tell us, that will give us the gauge of how close we are walking with the Lord. When was the last time I was convicted about anything that God said? Not just having a conscience of it. Judas Iscariot, he was guilty conscience. He felt bad. But Peter went out and wept. He remembered what Jesus said. And it's the word of God that convicts us. It's the word of God that helps us to see where we're at. It's a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. It shows me, you know what? I'm not as close to him as I should be. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't be thinking this way. I wouldn't be standing in my own strength. So we've got to be very careful that we do not have self-reliance. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved, how long we've been walking with the Lord, I still need to rely upon him to help me to stay on the straight and narrow path and to make those conscious decisions that are biblical, that will help me stay close, because you know what your weaknesses are. You know what your weakness is, and so does the devil. And the devil wants to use those weaknesses against us. Admit the weakness. Remember, the Father said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." He told Jesus, "I have a weakness. I do believe you can do this, but I also have a weakness that I don't know if you will." So that's being honest with the Lord and being honest with ourselves and not standing in our own self-reliance that I'll never deny the Lord. So be honest with the Lord. Be honest with your relationship, where you're at, and say, Lord, I have a lot more ground I need to cover to really get closer to you and to be more like you. Because what were you predestined to do? Be conformed into the image of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the hour. Thank you, Father, for just the life example we can look at in Peter's life. And Lord, how we can apply it to our own life. Father, I ask that you would continue to guide us this morning. Guide us in the next service. Bring in all honor and glory to yourself. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. All right, we've got about 10 minutes.